Well, I want to continue preaching through the book of Luke, and so we're excited about this. We're going to look at a spot where Jesus sends some front men, basically, as an old evangelist would come into a town. Oftentimes, that evangelist would send some advanced men, and they would go and get things ready, set up a tent and all that, but then also get the place ready. Joe Boyd, an old evangelist, came through our town of Ripley, and he had men come forward and do that before he did the revival, and one of our deacons at the church we first served at got saved at that old-fashioned revival, and much because of the men that went ahead to do some of the work. And that's what we're going to look at in Luke chapter number 10. If you'd find your place there in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10, we'll begin with verse number 1. As you find your place in Luke 10, I did hear this story about these two redneck buddies. They were out of work, and they worked together. They firewood and cut firewood and different things, and they went to the employment office, and they're just trying to find work anywhere. And so they went to the employment office, and one stayed out in the lobby, and the other went on in to talk to the manager of the employment agency. He came back out not too long, and he told his buddy, he said, "Well, I'm in." He said, "I got me a job on Monday." "That's wonderful. That's good." He said, "Oh, yeah, it's easy." He said, they had plenty of work. I could take my pick." And I said, "Oh, no, don't need to take a pick. Just sign me up." He said, "So I start Monday, going to the airport." Said, "Okay, well." And he said, "Well, go on in there." So his buddy went in there, and he started to tell the manager. He said, "Well, I'm here for a job as well. I need one." And he told him what he did. He said, "Well, what do you do?" He said, "Well, I cut firewood." He said, "Well, we really don't have any needs for firewood cutters." And he said, "Well, isn't there something you do?" "No, really, we don't have anything." He said, "Well, my buddy just came in here. He said there's plenty of jobs for him." And he said, "Well, yeah, but he's got a skilled trade." He said, "Yeah, but he said he could take any pick of his jobs, but you signed him up for one on Monday. He's got it already." And he said, "Don't you have anything for me?" He said, "No, I don't have anything for you." He said, "I don't understand that. He got it so quickly, and now you don't have anything for me." He said, "Yeah, but he's a skilled trade, you know." He said, "Yeah, but we work together." He said, "Well, no, he's a pilot." And he said, "I know, but I got to cut the firewood before he can pilot." So it's all in presentation when you go for those interviews. In chapter 10, Luke, the Bible says, "After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come." That's again what I was mentioning, that those evangelists, even now today, will send in advance men and they'll get things ready. This is where the meeting's going to come. Jesus was coming through these areas and he sent his disciples two by two to go in those areas where he would come. "Therefore said he unto them," in verse number 2, the prayer request that Jesus gives, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And enter into whatsoever house ye enter. First say, Peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again." And that's just a way of saying you offer this, and if it resides there and it's a receive well, then there it is. But if not, then your peace returns to you. You're understanding that this is not a gracious place to be. Verse 7, "And in the same house remain that one that receives you, eating and drinking such things as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, Even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you." I'll stop reading there for the sake of time, but I want to just preach about these 70 that are sent. We have the Lord sending his 70 disciples out through there two by two and going to the areas that he's going to come to later. I want you to see, first of all, as we get right into it, the sending that Jesus does. He sends them out, verses 1, 2, and 3. He sent them two by two. And we see that the Lord is getting them out to get the message. Now, in our day and age in which we live, we don't have too many door-to-door salesmen. There are some. There, one came by the house the other day selling a service or a product, some kind. And we don't have many of those, but there was times in our nation that people made a great living doing that. They just went door to door. And so Jesus sends these guys out, these disciples, to go in that similar fashion. I read a story this week as preparing that there was a lady, godly lady, who was very concerned about a young man that was an atheist, didn't claim to believe in God. She prayed and prayed for him, and finally he got to a service, and he listened to the pastor and finally got under conviction, and Russell Conwell got saved at that service. He later went on to pastor the Grace Baptist Temple, Grace Baptist Church, which they later named Temple Baptist Church, and he pastored that church, and as the pastor, he started an institute because there were people that wanted to hear from him and learn, and that Temple Baptist College, so to speak, turned into Temple University. It's the third largest college, or university rather, in Pennsylvania now. But it was started to train ministers. Before it was started to train ministers, it was started because of one man that responded to the gospel. But before it was one man that responded to the gospel, it was one godly lady that was so burdened for an atheist boy in her neighborhood that she bombarded heaven and tried to share with him the need that he had to come to Christ. I'm seeing the sending that's here, that Jesus says to his disciples to go and spread out to the places that I'm going to go. But not only the sending, but I want you to look at verse number 4, the supply that he gives them. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes. He tells them, don't take your money and all those. Those things will be provided for you. Down to verse number 7. And then that same house that receives you, that same house eating and drinking such things as they give. And the scripture says that the labor is not for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house looking for things. The supply is here. Jesus sends the disciples out and says, you don't have to worry about taking that stipend. You don't have to worry about taking that finances, and I'm going to provide that as you go. Your pastor, I'm taken care of as well by the church takes care of me. And then you above, beyond what the church does collectively, it gifts from you. I told you I had great pulled pork today, this week, and somebody dropped it by the house. And the supply, the labor is worthy of his hire. So somebody thought that was a good thing, I guess. And I'm grateful that they did. And I ate again last night. And the Lord takes care of all of this, but you see the supply that God gives to those people. Jesus wanted them to go knowing that in their heart they would have that anxiety, but he said, you don't have to worry about this, you don't have to worry about that. The supply will be there when you get there. But I want you to look also at the behavior in verse number 5. And into whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And verse number 6, send the son, if the son of peace be there. And I want you to understand that verse. As they're giving the statement, peace be to this house, and then in verse number 6, the response is given, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. Meaning that as they're given that proclamation that peace be on this house, if that's received in the way, because they're on loan or on assignment from Christ, and so that peace from Jesus Christ be on this house, if they don't receive it, then the Lord says to go on. Their behavior is given that they'll give peace to this house and that house would receive it. But then look down to verse number 9, what they'll be doing. They'll be healing the sick that are therein. Say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Jesus not only tells them where to go, but he tells them what to do when they get there. We're told another passage in the New Testament as well that daily and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And so that's been the model that was given by Christ to these disciples. That's been the model that was also given as he gave the great commission to go into all the world. And then it's given now to us that we are supposed to continually give the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. A guy pastored down in Garland, Texas, and he and his assistant pastor, they were going to this visit, and it was very, very awkward as they got in there. The house, the family was there, a little girl. And you know how it is when you're talking with people, it just seems like you ask something and they answer it, but they answer it in one word, and then you're kind of awkward again. It's same way in other business and whatnot, but this pastor and his assistant were there, and they came in. The assistant pastor was his turn to talk, and so he came in talking to the family, asked them a few things. They just answer yes, no, whatever, and just it was going nowhere. And so they thought, well, the easy target of what to talk about is the little girl. There's a little girl. Oh, how old's your daughter? She's 5. Okay. And that's it. You know, well, ask her another question about it. That was all they get. They were just very, very indifferent, or the conversation was very cold. Well, finally, the pastor said, I'm going to have to show this young guy how to do it. And he just kind of, not literally, but pushed him aside in conversation. And so he started talking, but he found the same thing out about the couple or the family that the first one found out. They didn't answer anything back. And so he got frustrated. And finally, he went back to the old reliable question that had already been asked by his assistant. He said, how old's your daughter? She's 5. And that conversation still didn't go anywhere. And finally, they were going to cut their losses and say, enough is enough. And they said, listen, we've got to get back. We've got some other visits to make. And so they got up, and the pastor was leading the way, and they walked out the door to the outside. But they realized when they got in there or got through the door, they didn't walk the outside. They walked into a large walk-in closet. But the assistant pastor had shut the door behind him, and so there they stood. Just for a second or two, but it felt like an hour. And the pastor said, well, move aside. We're going to go back out and face the music and tell them when we got out there that, well, we're sorry, we went in the wrong door. So they went back out the closet to turn left to go in the entryway and go out the door. As they opened up the door coming out of the closet, they're standing there with the family with the 5-year-old girl. And the parents didn't know what, the mom didn't know what else to say. They said, well, she's still 5. They weren't very smooth, but they were interested in going out. And that's what the disciples were told by Jesus here. Their behavior was to go and spread the word that the kingdom of God is come unto you into the streets and say these things and let them know the behavior was there. And I don't want to give the last part of the message, but I'm going to, because it's the part that doesn't please anybody. Doesn't please me to talk about, I should say. But I want you to look at down 10, 11, 12, down through there. Verse 10 says, but into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your way out into the streets of the same and say, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you, verse 12, that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than that city. For woe unto thee. And he starts naming some different cities. Verse 14, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you, those people that reject the word of the Lord. Could I just tell you about this judgment? We see not only the behavior of the disciples, but now the judgment that's proclaimed. There's some severe judgment prescribed right here. That Jesus tells them that you're going to go and you're going to say the kingdom of God has come because they were representatives of Christ. But if you don't receive it, you reject, then the judgment of God will fall upon you. We have people right here in the services today that have been told by their family, don't give me no more of that God talk. Yet there are some that are in the services today that are going back to their family in the future days. To give one more opportunity to try to get the message of Jesus Christ to their family who desperately needs it. Because the Bible still says in Acts, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And there's a huge cry in our world today that says, as long as you find something that satisfies you, as long as you find something that you are convinced of, then surely you'll be okay. But the Bible says Jesus himself spoke and said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. Somebody tells me, Pastor, that they are so sincere. But my friend, I could be sincere in my belief that these walls are purple. But my sincere belief doesn't mean anything because these walls are not. And so somebody can be very, very sincere in their belief of something that doesn't bring salvation, but that sincerity is not what's required. The Bible says there is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so just as real as that judgment was pronounced on these people, those folks that wouldn't turn to God, I hate to say, and that's why I say, I hate to get to this point, but this whole world and your neighbors and my friends and our folks that are around us that reject Christ, the judgment of God rests upon them. And if you're here today, maybe you're here to see somebody follow Christ in baptism. Maybe you're here just because a friend invited you. Maybe you're here because you just thought you should be here. but you don't have your faith in Jesus Christ alone for the salvation of your soul. You've never turned to Him for forgiveness of your sins. You are trying to live this life in such a way that you are on your own merit. The Bible says that, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody will ever get to heaven and say, I deserve to be here. I worked for this. I achieved this, because the Bible says every bit of our works are insufficient to get us to heaven. And so as Jesus told the judgment on these cities, said, if they don't receive the message you're given, because the message that they were giving was the message that Christ had already given, that the kingdom of God is at hand, that Christ is coming. And now we have the opportunity to give the message of Christ to this crowd as your pastor, but also to this whole world. And that's one reason I'm so burdened for our missionaries, because they're giving the message where we are not. And that means we're responsible for giving the message where we are. And so your coworkers and your friends and your neighbors and your relatives and all of these, we need to get the message of Christ, because one day it will be eternally too late. Because when a person draws their last breath, then they can't go back and relive what they squandered away and trust Christ then. That day Jesus sent His disciples out to tell the people the message that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And now our job is this: to tell the friends that we have, the people we're associated with, and the people sitting here and listening and watching, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. How has it come nigh unto me, Pastor? Jesus, God Himself, left heaven, all the splendors of heaven, and came and was born of a virgin, took on the flesh of a human, lived a sinless, perfect life, came nigh to us, humbled Himself, came nigh to us by taking on the form of a man, died on the cross, which we bring to the front here to remind everybody where we stand, but didn't finish things on the cross. That was the beginning of the finishing. But He was buried and then rose again bodily, victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And that was the finished work of Jesus Christ for you. Amen. And I say that so gladly. But the other side of that truth is Romans 6. The wages of sin is death. Because the pleasant side is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But the wages of sin are death. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ for the full forgiveness of your sins, not asking if you're a church member or you're religious or you've grown up somewhere in a good area or a good home, but do you have Christ as your Savior? And if you do not, then that judgment that was pronounced in 10, 13, 11, 12, 13, those verses down through there, they're on you this morning. That's why we're here, to tell people of the good news of Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? I'm going to stop there. I have another thing or two to say, but I just feel led to stop right there. And I'm going to ask Davina to come to the piano and Miss Marion to come to the organ. And this time is for you, my friend. If you don't know Christ, oh, please, please, please listen to this pastor, that the judgment of God is on those, all of us, except for those that have received Christ for forgiveness of the sins that they committed. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. If you're here today, though, and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to know Him. Otherwise, you are bound to pay for your sins. What a horrible thought. But what a gracious, glorious thought that Jesus came for you. What a wonderful truth. As they begin to play, if you're able to, would you stand together with me and If you're here today, not sure you're saved, we got people right down here at the front that would love to take a Bible and show you how you can put your faith in Christ. You see, our church can't save anybody. Our church can't get you one inch closer to heaven. But Jesus Christ wants to save everybody. And that offer, that free salvation offer, is given out again today to you. Do you know you're saved? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, not if you're religious, not if you know a lot of Bible facts, but I mean truly know Him. My friend, if you don't know Him as your Savior, you need to be saved today. Eternity is forever. You need to be sure that heaven's your home. Would you come? Right there from where you stand, just come on. Brother Daniel's right down here. We'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be sure heaven is for you. It is for you. It's what God desires. But He won't force you. But He asks you, invites you to come to Him. We're getting ready right now for some baptisms, and maybe you're saved and you've never followed Christ in baptism, but you'd like to. You can do that today, or you can do it sometime soon. The altar is open for you as well. One last request is this: as we keep our, as your heads are bowed, most of us are, whether you are or not, immaterial. You'd say, Pastor, I know somebody right now. As far as I know, they don't know Christ as their Savior. You don't have to raise your hand. I just want you to think about that person, one or several that you know. And you've been praying for them, but you have kind of, they've fallen off your radar just a bit. I'm asking you to pick them back up again. Pray for them, that God would save them. And then offer yourself to say, Lord, not only do I want to see them saved, whatever part I need to play in that, you don't play any part in saving them, of course, but whatever I need to do to get them there, to tell them, then, Lord, I want to do that as well. Who's that person God's bringing to mind? Would you be praying for them right now? Lord, save them, please. Lord, I pray that You'd save them. Whatever part You want me to play, I'll be glad to. As they play one more verse, if God's bringing somebody to your mind right now, let's start a prayer effort on them. Lord, please save them. If it's you today that somebody is praying for, my dad, who is sick right now, has told me hundreds of times, John, if it wasn't for my praying mother, I'd be in hell or the penitentiary long ago. A praying mom prayed for him to be saved, and he was. Are you the somebody that somebody's been praying for? Would you come and ask Christ to be your Savior?
Well, you may be seated. If you're able to stick with us for just a few more minutes, we are excited about what God's doing in the church. It's just a few minutes before 12, so we tried to keep the early part of the service moving right along because we are getting ready. We mentioned last week, we're getting ready for some baptisms today, and that it is a joy to be able to be part of a ministry that we're trying to see the people in our community reached with the gospel. We send out buses every week, and they go out and try to reach people, reach kids, reach into families, and some that are here this morning are here because you rode a bus in, and others just came in because of the that you just come in, drive in on a normal basis. But we're going to sing a song here in just a moment. The song is, if you want to use a hymn book, it's 391, and the title of the song is Trust and Obey. Trust and obey is exactly what these that are going to get baptized are trying to do. We always say that baptism is the first step of obedience in the life of a believer. And these are that are getting baptized this morning. There are five or so that are came off the buses this morning, and we're excited about the fact they were reached in recent days, wanted to get baptized. And if you'd ever want to get involved in a ministry where you'd be on the front lines of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have more buses than go out. We'd love to have you on one, and we would certainly count it a joy in that way. But while they get ready, let's sing this song about what they're about to do. Trust and obey when we walk with the Lord. When we walk with the Lord.
She's trusted Christ as Savior and wants to follow Him in believer's baptism. And Lakin, because you asked Jesus to be your Savior and because He told us to, after we get saved, to follow Him in baptism like He did, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Buried in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. What's your first name? Layla. And this is Lakin's sister Layla. And she also has trusted Christ as her Savior. And she wants to follow Jesus in believers' baptism as well. It's an exciting thing in their family. So we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because that's what Jesus commands us to do after we get saved. Hold your nose. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. This is Clara. She's no stranger to most of us. Been to Christmas programs and different things. Mom and Dad love the Lord, and Grandma and Grandpa. And we're very proud of her for standing up for the Lord. And so upon your profession of faith, and because Jesus tells us we should be baptized after we get saved, I baptize you, Clara, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. This is Royal. He's also trusted Christ as Savior. Wants to follow Jesus in believers' baptism as well. Royal, because of being saved and you wanting to follow Jesus and live for Him, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. And this is Luke. Luke also has trusted Christ as Savior. And Luke, it's a wonderful day when somebody gets baptized. They get to show everybody that they love Jesus and want to follow Him. His shirt says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And Luke, because of Jesus' command to be baptized after we're saved, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. Praise the Lord for this brother. He's trusted Christ just recently, but wants to follow Him in believers' baptism. Got some health issues that keeps him a little slower, but I appreciate his desire to walk with the Lord and live for Him. In obedience to the divine command of Jesus our Lord and upon your profession of faith, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. Take your time. He said, preacher, be easy on me. He's got some back issues, but he wanted to follow Him. Got him, John. All right. Well, we thank the Lord for what He's done. Thank the Lord for, I'll turn you this way. We got a little audience over here. It's a good audience too. And wonderful thing to see. I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, because of Jesus' command upon us as we follow Him. We follow Him in one way in believers' baptism. Hold your nose. Buried in baptism. Raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. God bless. Well, the Lord is good to our church. And I'm glad that we could all experience this together to see people that care so much about their faith that they want to take that first step of obedience. And maybe you're here and you've been a little unclear on what baptism is all about. There's no salvation in baptism. It's an act of obedience after a person trusts Christ because Jesus led us in that. John the Baptist baptized him. And so maybe you've been wondering, thinking about that. I encourage you to take that step of faith, follow Christ in believer's baptism, and I know the Lord would help you in that. As you saw here today, one gentleman having health issues, but said, "Pastor, I want to do it." And some nerves on this side, I believe these two would have jumped in with me. I don't think they had any nerves, but regardless, just wonderful to see people follow the Lord. Thank you for being here, be part of all of it. I'm going to ask Brother Moses. Hey, at least, Kim Barnett, was that you? At least they're throwing it at me and not you, so. Well, I want to introduce you to somebody. Brother Mosley, do you mind coming to the pulpit? This is a friend of mine, pastor's down in Valdosta, Georgia. And they're up here for their family to try to be a help to him. And so while they're here for a funeral, he was able to be with us. And so I'm going to ask you just to dismiss us in prayer and thank the Lord for him pastoring, leading the way down there in Georgia. And so it's good to have you here with us, brother. Would you pray for us as we head out?
All right, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship you today, Lord. And I pray that you would help us, Lord, as the pastor preached this morning, to follow you, Lord, and to listen to you and to be willing to be sent, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to trust your provision. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of your plan. And Lord, we pray that you would just bless us now as we go our separate ways and keep us safe to bring us back safely together and worship you again. In Jesus' name, amen.